T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good morning, Lee. Going to jump on the line with Scott in Greenville, a former law enforcement officer. We've been talking about the situation in Fort Worth. We've gotten new news overnight that the 28-year-old woman playing video games with her nephew, has told folks she did have a gun and she did point it at the officer before he shot her. But we don't wait for details like that before we charge officers with a crime now. We just go half-cocked if the person who gets shot is black. Of course, if you're white, it doesn't even make national news and the officer won't be charged with a crime. I mean, if you want to know where the racial bias is now, it's that. If you are a white person who is negligently shot by the police, irresponsibly shot by the police, good luck with that. You're not getting national help. Nobody cares. It's not even a story. I mean, you contrast that with Simpsonville, where are the charges there? Oh, guy was white. Oh, okay, so it's cool. Yeah, no, it's like literally cool. It's fine. Sheriff's Department says it was in compliance. The shooting in Simpsonville was in compliance. The shooting through the glass with their internal protocols. And when you begin to dig into that situation, as I did, it's real murky. It's really, really, it's just a total confluence of really bad luck. And doesn't happen a lot, but it happens to white people too. The problem is nobody in the country knows that, because when a white person gets shot, they don't report it. And by the way, Lee, we've learned this week that's on purpose. I mean, CNN and that, hidden camera with Project Veritas, their producer's walking around going, yeah, no, if we only covered if white people are doing the shooting. We and it's a mass shooting. If it's black people shooting each other, we don't care. Well, the problem is 80% of shootings in this country that are not suicides or accidents, they're gang shootings. So they just completely exclude that. And that is the lie of omission. And it is literally tearing the country apart. And again, I said this earlier, I feel bad for black people. I truly do. I mean, they think they're under assault and attack uniquely in America, and this doesn't happen to white people. And I'm here to tell you it does. It happened in Simpsonville. It's just not news when it does. And it's certainly not criminal charge worthy when it does. And the only difference is the color of the skin. Scott in Greenville. Hey, Scott.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you today?
Good.
I'm making a point really quick. This is not new. I was a police officer about 20 years ago here in Greenville, and when I decided to finally leave, it was because I shot a black man in Piedmont Manor. The next morning, I read the news. I would have had no idea it was my story they was talking about the way they spun it. The headline was "Mama, they done shot up Junior," not "Mama tried to kill a police officer." But what's further exacerbated this problem is the war on police and Black Lives Matter. 20 years ago, I could show up at your house, and if you were standing in the doorway with a gun, I'd give you the benefit of the doubt, because I didn't think everybody was trying to kill me as an officer. Now, I would shoot too, because there's a complete war on police, and they don't have the option to give you the benefit of the doubt anymore. So the root cause of this is we're seeing more officers make mistakes because officers are more scared than they've ever been, and that's a direct result of Obama's war on police and the Black Lives Matter movement.
Yeah, and it's a direct result too, Scott, of the fact that officers follow the news. I mean, I reported case after case after case of this where people were deliberately ambushing officers. They were calling them to places so they could shoot them. They were coming out of the woods and executing them, as happened in South Carolina. So I totally get it. You're going to have your dander up more than usual, and maybe you should. Hey, I'm curious. So let's go back to your shooting. Your story is fascinating. Tell me real quick, just kind of summarize what actually happened, and then what did the news say happened?
Okay, so wife called and said, my husband's beating me, he's high on drugs. I got to the house, the gentleman was in the house, I asked him to leave the house, which was protocol for domestic violence. He refused to leave, a fight ensued. We ended up falling into a bathtub. He was banging my head into the bathtub faucet. I could feel the blood running down my neck. I shot him, and my black female backup officer shot him. You go through the paperwork, do all the work with SLED. I get home, I take a nap. I hear it on the news. I'm thinking I'm listening to another shooting, because now he's the victim, and his wife, who called the police, is saying, we shot him. We just shot him for no reason. We just showed up just to shoot him. Now, obviously, I guess she didn't know at the time that when you call 911 and say, my husband's going to kill me, we record that stuff, right? So fast forward to trial. There were no charges against me, and he was convicted.
Wait, stop. But, stop. They tried you?
No. There was no. They tried him. I wasn't charged at all.
Okay, good.
Today, I would have been.
Yeah,
right?
You would.
Her story was they showed up and they just wanted to shoot him. And that rag of a newspaper that's Greenville News here, the headline was, Mama, they done shot up Junior. And then the first line under it, I never forget it, was, they showed up wanting to kill him. He didn't die, by the way.
Wow. So.
And that was almost 20 years ago.
Is that why you got out of law enforcement?
It's when I made the decision to leave. I stayed probably another year and a half, 2 years after that, but that's when I made the decision to leave. And it has been that way. I don't know if you were in town back then, but you know, there was a time when Johnny Mac Brown, who was a fantastic sheriff, was accused of having a black hit squad here in Greenville with officers just set up to kill black men. It's insane. It's not new. They just have a better opportunity to report it now.
Wow. You know, Scott, my young son has, since he was little, wanted to be a police officer. And I'm sad to say this. I have completely discouraged him because he's white. And by the time he's ready to do that 20 years from now, I mean, I just.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not going to be able to shoot anyone to defend himself. What?
My little boy wants to follow in my footsteps, too. He's 16. He talks about it all the time. And,
yeah.
And 20 years ago, I said, it's a great job.
Me too.
It's the best job I've ever had. But now, being a white male is a horrible liability as an officer.
Yeah, I don't think you can do it. My daughter might be able to pull it off, but not my sons.
Yeah, maybe. You guys are doing a great job. I appreciate what you guys are doing.
Well, Scott, thank you for your attempted service to this community.
Sure. Have a great day.
All right. Thank you very much. Okay, so Lee, a texter writes, it's called black privilege. It literally is. It's literally black privilege. Because if you shoot a black person, it's criminal charges now. You shoot a white person, good luck, you're on your own. You're not going to see charges from that. It's just not. And you know what was really sad is how fast Fort Worth folded.
Yeah.
You know, can we not in this country, just one time, can we not wait 24 hours to get all the facts before we go off half-cocked?
Yeah. I mean, I remember during the Michael Slager issue, you know, there was a delay, but at least those folks were trying to figure out exactly what happened.
Right.
And, of course, they had the benefit of having partial video of what happened. You know, I still think that Slager made a huge mistake.
Sure.
But the part that you forget about is the fact that the gentleman that he ultimately shot ran from the car. There was an altercation. They were fighting. The individual that was ultimately shot and killed actually was trying to had his taser and actually had tased Slager, the officer.
Yeah.
And then Slager, you know, after he left him or got off of him and started running away, then Slager made the huge mistake of shooting him in the back. That should never have happened. But it's not like that Slager was going around trying to find a black person to shoot.
But that's how it was cast.
Exactly.
And yet, you know, we also have video again of the Seneca shooting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The car, I mean, to say the guy was driving away, it was barely rolling. The wheels were barely rolling. He was shot in the back. It was compounded by the fact that the police department had the coroner's report that he was shot in the back, and they flat out lied to the community and said he wasn't. We busted them on that. I was the first one to break it. And, you know, I mean, look at the difference. Slager is sitting in prison, and the cop in Seneca, they haven't even bothered to complete the Justice Department investigation. How many years has it been? Look, we got to decide as a society. We're either going to put these cops in prison when they do that, and then good luck to us finding people wanting to police our communities, or we're going to not put them in prison. And we need to keep that consistent across whatever race the victim is.
Well, we're putting law enforcement in an impossible situation.
Yes, impossible.
Where you have to make exactly the right call, exactly every time, exactly at the second that decision has to be made. Now, that's not excusing every single shooting that is going on.
Well, no, they have to do that if the perp is, or the victim, however you want to look at him, is black. If they're white, Lee, nobody cares. I mean, the Simpsonville shooting wasn't national news, and you know darn Skippy it would have been if the victim was black. It would have been.
Yeah.
With all this heat about Dallas? Oh, God. Why are you talking? Sharpton would have been here and everything. Jesse, they'd be marching around screaming their heads off. And they're looking at, oh, victim white. No one cares. Good luck. Hope the family has resources to publicize this and try to get justice. Good luck. That's the reality in America. And look, I mean, I don't care. We can debate all day long. Was the officer wrong? Was he right? Was he should have done this? He should have done that. I'm totally open to that. But let's be consistent. I mean, are we going to have one set? Well, you know, if you come across upon a black, white person who's got a gun pointed at you at 2:30 a.m. through a window at a house you've been called to, and you shoot them, oh, well, we'll just have an internal review and you'll go right back to work. But if the person you shoot is black, by God, you're done, you're fired, and you've got charges against you. That's where we are in America right now. I'm just so disgusted with this. And based on what, Lee? Because the media tells everybody what you were thinking as if they know. And that what you were thinking is you were a racist. Does anybody care to know what the people who shoot white people were thinking? No. They don't care. That's the problem. And the saddest thing, though, to me is that, and again, why I've spent so much time on this today, is I just want black people to know, regardless of what you hear on CNN, this happens to white people. It happens, I covered a case in Charlotte. Cops shot a guy who was disabled, didn't have legs, on his own couch. He was white. You know, I mean, so how half-cocked and bizarre would I have sounded as a reporter if I reported as fact at that time when I was investigating that he was shot because the police hate disabled people? My editor, the first thing he would have said to me is, based on what, Tara? Where do you have evidence? You have recording? What do you have? Nothing. I just think they hate disabled people. Oh, sure. Go ahead and print that. Heck no. I couldn't get that past an editor. That's how bizarre the way they report this stuff is.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Let's jump on the Ingalls Advantage talk line with Eric in Simpsonville. Good morning, Eric.
Morning, Jeff.
Hey.
I simply wanted to call in. I'm actually a neighbor. As the crow would fly, maybe 150, 200 yards from the gentleman that was shot in Simpsonville. And predominantly my point is this. I'm a strong supporter of LEOs. And to kind of jump on board with what the officer, retired officer, said, with the culture of wanting to attack LEOs, you know, my family and most of the community, I've been here 20 years, we love law enforcement and the police. I have a son, Navy, daughter, 11 Bravo Army. We're all, you know, all represented within the branches. We're out of that. However, when you have a situation where, whether it's from the Obama administration or whether it is a corruption you see within state, you create a level of distrust in the community, such that now, talking with a lot of the neighbors, when you have a situation where law enforcement makes a mistake, and I feel bad for that officer, and I feel horrible for the family and my neighbor, you've created, when they don't step up, though, Lieutenant Flood and what have you, and say, look, we got this one wrong, and I understand why. See a community come together with a shooting in Charleston, with a church, maybe they have concerns about unrest. But you know, I've examined, went through it, talked with neighbors. Now you've created a situation, Tara, where in my home, and I raised 5 girls and a boy, been here 20 years, they're all military, we're all military, father-in-law, law enforcement. I'm not going to have my home illuminated with lights and come downstairs as a homeowner and trust, let alone we talk about search and seizure. That didn't happen, but when you're firing into a home, not knowing whether or not you're going to strike a woman, a child, a baby, that officer panicked. He panicked because it's a culture today that they're all under attack. I understand what happened. I'm not angry at the police. I'm disappointed that money and power or large organizations, we've reached a point in our culture today, where when we do wrong, rather than have the tongue in our mouth in line with the tongue in our shoe, meaning our actions have to be in line with our commitments, there was no conviction from Greenville Sheriff's Department to come forward and say, we got it wrong, and we can never let this happen again.
Well, okay, can I address that really quickly? I know what they would say, because I've talked extensively to sources inside the Sheriff's Department about it. Here's what they would say about that. He didn't violate protocol. You absolutely can fire through glass at somebody pointing a gun at you. And so they would not have come out and hold on. I'm going to tell you this, and then you tell me what you think. They would not have come out and said he was wrong because he didn't violate the protocol. So you and I can debate whether they should change their protocol, but he wasn't wrong according to their protocol. So let me ask you just a hypothetical question. This is where this gets really murky. Okay, Eric, I'm not trying to make an argument either way. Do you want the Sheriff's Department to change their protocol so when they respond to a panic call for help, if a person inside the house points a gun at a deputy, he is not allowed to fire? Do you want to do that? I'm just asking you, because that's how the protocol would have to change. Is that what you want?
Yes, ma'am. To answer your question, no different from ROE or CQB or issues that I'm very familiar with. Anytime.
Okay, so if a person inside the house, now we don't know if this is just a homeowner who has no idea, like your neighbor, that his mother or mother-in-law has sent a panic call to the police, or it could be a guy who just killed his entire family and the officer has no way to know. How long, when the gun is pointed at him through the window, must he hold his fire? I just want to know from you, Eric. Permanently, he's never allowed to fire ever until he takes the first bullet. Should that be the protocol? I'm just asking. Hold on, because these are the hard questions you got to answer. What's your answer?
If a weapon is pointed at you, that is different. An examination of that tape with his flashlight that comes up through the glass, it's inconclusive as to whether or not that officer ever sees. He sees a weapon down at his side as the homeowner comes with the lights on in his home, meaning the homeowner was illuminated to the officer outside who had approached the residence prior without stating he was with Greenville County Sheriff's Department, left the porch, comes back to the porch, sees a figure moving with what appears to be a weapon down at his side, pointed to the ground. At that point, the officer puts his light on the suspect, who he doesn't know is a homeowner, to your point, very astute point you make, or whether or not he's an intruder. But regardless of which, you have to know your target.
Okay, so hold on. I want to get at this, Eric. Okay, so if the person who approaches you, if you can't see on the tape if he pointed the gun, then the officer is always wrong. Officer says, well, he's a deputy, says he did point the gun. So at that point, if he's got a gun, but it's not pointed at you, you're not allowed to fire. I mean, we're going to have to change the protocols, Eric. I want to know what to change them to. These are not easy questions, because they're going to get a lot of officers killed. What?
Your point of giving the officers 9 out of 10 times the benefit of the doubt. You're right. I mean, it's no different. We see in the House with Pelosi or other things about changing the law or immigration. If you don't like it, change it.
Yeah, exactly. Change it. Let's debate it. Let's change it. And then we'll let officers decide, Eric, if they want to serve under conditions where a homeowner can point a gun at them and they are not allowed to fire. And they don't know if it's a man who's just executed his whole family or just some guy who woke up in the middle of the night and didn't know a panic call came from his house. I'd love to continue this with you, but we are way over time. And I want to thank you for your call.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Let's jump on the Ingalls Advantage talk line, Lee. Jack in Greenville has a question. Hey, Jack.
Missed you. Been in Italy for about 3 weeks. And
awesome.
Rome is burning for sure. They've got problems so parallel to ours. But anyway, first thing about you is that one of the best things about you and your show is that you ask the right questions. And that's profound. and I really enjoy your perspective. But let me ask you this. I'm really getting nervous because I'm starting to agree with Rand Paul. When I look at this whole thing about our role in Syria and these whatever 10,000 troops, and I look at all the newscasts, I don't care which one is, my wife and I are sitting here and said, well, what is the point? Why are we there? Well, the Kurds helped us. Well, wait a minute. The Kurds live there. What's in it for the Kurds? Are they helping us? Are we helping them to control the ISIS fighters in prisons? Some of this is logically, you know, how does that come about? So we're putting all these people over there to do that. That's the first thing. Historically, though, Tara, when you and I and Charles Payne look at things like tariffs and global stuff and are in agreement on these things, what is the price of crude oil today as we speak? 53.03, right?
Mm-hmm.
Crude, what, I trade commodities.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what it is today, but yeah, go ahead.
Well, you can open up an account with the people and like TD Ameritrade, whoever, but and track it because it's right there, or you can just track it on other ways. But here's the rub. Historically, we've been over there worried about the Straits of Hormuz, worried about oil, because that was so critical. Now, the reason I bring up the price of oil today is that it's cheap. We don't need, you know, part of the rationale for being in the Middle East, oh, we got to protect oil. We're worried about OPEC. OPEC is a non-entity anymore. OPEC is trying to slash production to get oil prices up. The point is, all this stuff about being in the Middle East and with the UN not with us, with Italy not with us, with Germany, France, all these other people who are afraid of terrorists making their way to their countries, where are they? Why is it our responsibility, again, to maintain this presence over there with ground troops? That's the other thing. Let me tell you the other thing I've got, the problem I've got with ground troops. If you recall back in the day, Patriot games, when Jack Ryan, Harrison Ford is in the room and they're looking at the terrorist, and one of the comments was, that one has breasts, okay? That was 20 years ago, and we're still talking about that technology, that we can see what's happening over there, and we can retaliate with modern warfare. Do we really need troops on the ground over there?
No. Washington wanted to use them as human shields, is what they wanted to do.
Yeah, and it makes me sick because I was, I was in the Vietnam era. That's when I grew up. That's when I was, looking at going to, my number was right in the middle, and I was waiting to get called up because it was a mandatory draft. But if I keep doing the terror thing and asking why, I don't get good answers.
No.
I get this stuff. I don't, Tara. I know this is reverting to a prior topic, but not of the day, but I don't know why we need to do this with modern technology. I just don't get the presence, and I don't know why the other people. Oh, if you hear this things about Israel. Well, Israel's worried. Well, okay, but you know, Israel can take care of Israel. I mean, I love Israel. Now, I'm a big, big supporter of Netanyahu and all that stuff, but they're big people. They can do stuff. We can do stuff if it is warranted, if there are bona fide red lines that Trump has drawn. We can do stuff, and he will. But I don't like this endless stuff. I don't like being over there. And you tell me what I'm missing, because I don't get it.
Well, really good news is now coming out, Jack, and I appreciate your phone call. About what is being accomplished over there. The goal for a long time, and Lee, and I know you're probably still there, if you're still there.
Yes.
The goal for a long time has been to negotiate a deal between the Kurds and the Turks, right?
Right.
And one of the reasons that we could never do that peacefully was because Europe kept kowtowing to the Turks. And Europe very much through NATO and through refusing to do sanctions, has been protecting the Turks. Turks were counting on that, right? Well, guess what? Trump just ripped it out from under him. Now the Europe is under pressure to do something about the Kurds, and guess what they just proposed? The EU sanctions. They including stopping Turkey from drilling around Cyprus. That's highly lucrative drilling for them. They're taking their energy contracts. There is no way Erdogan ever counted on any of that. So Erdogan's pretty screwed right now. And we actually have, for the first time in the decade we've been trying it, gotten Europe is now at the table. It took a week. It took a week of us saying, no, we're not going to be the world's police officer anymore. And so this is actually really good news. I mean, we may actually end up with a settlement here, or the green light is there for us cleared to wreck the Turkish economy, which it's well past time for us to have done, given the hostile coup style takeover the current dictator of Turkey used to get his position. I mean, he's thrown journalists into jail, had people killed. That's how he's holding on to power. We should have sanctioned him a long time ago, and so should Europe. And so now we get to, we're not alone in the world. This is going to hurt him. It may even push him out of office. I mean, I'm not seeing a downside here. And again, let me refresh your memory. The death toll so far for America in this conflict, northern Syria versus Turkey for the win, is zero U.S. casualties.
Well, I've seen some criticism of the president regarding this, saying that now he has basically handed a victory to Bashar Assad. I'm sorry, Assad won a long time ago. Yes. Assad won when the Obama administration sent U.S. troops into Syria.
Yeah. Assad won against ISIS.
Well, we started
he did a fine job.
And exactly. And Assad and the Russians have got what they wanted. They still have control somewhat of the country. I mean, obviously, there's some areas where he's still got some issues. But this is not a defeat nor anything that Donald Trump has caused. And I think that the point you're bringing out here where we can, and that Jack was talking about as well, there is so much that we can do without having to have boots on the ground. Why wouldn't we?
Yeah. Why wouldn't we?
And why would we want to put boots on the ground when we don't need to?
I guess the standard for me when I do this, because it's real to me, is my husband is a Marine. He's obviously not active duty. But in every one of these, when we're hearing this, it's like I'm picturing my husband. How would I feel if he was packing up to go to that region? It would make me sick.
Yeah.
Because I can't articulate a national security purpose for it. Is this worth losing my husband for? Yeah, it's more important that the Kurds live and my husband dies. No, it's not.
Yeah.
That's how I make these decisions, because it's real to me.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I just, these armchair quarterbacks on the text line, oh, we should go over there. No, you should go over there.
Well,
why don't you send your spouse?
There's only one reason to put boots on the ground. That's to hold real estate, to hold territory. The thing is, how do you ever get out? And that's what our problem always is. Why, if we can do things from the air, from space, if we can do things economically, diplomatically, or if we do things militarily from air or from space, then let's let those that have skin in the game be the ones on the ground.
Absolutely. You know, some ground that is worth dying and fighting for, I'll tell you some territory we ought to take and hold. Our border. How about we start there? Then you can talk to me about some border between Syria and Turkey. And by the way, I bet half the country didn't know there was a border between Syria and Turkey till 2 weeks ago. I bet they couldn't have told you what countries are on all sides of Syria. And they want to send people they don't know to die? You kidding me? Okay, finally, did you see this? To wrap the show up, the absurdity. Remember this at tax time. You know Elon Musk? You know that rich guy? Yeah, well, he owns, in addition to Tesla, he owns SpaceX, a company that's, you know, going to privately go to the moon, right? Okay. Well, I don't know if you saw the recent MMA, it was Joe Rogan video. He's Joe Rogan MMA guy. He's also got this great podcast anyway that I'm forced to watch in my home because my husband's a big MMA fan. Anyway, so Elon Musk, he's sitting there with Joe Rogan. And he's like, you know, it's just smoking pot. And NASA saw this. Yeah, I am not making this up, folks. This is the absolute absurdity of our country. Honest to God, some days I think we just don't even deserve to exist because of the stupidity. Well, NASA has a bunch of contracts, federal contracts with SpaceX, right? And so Musk goes on the podcast. He's smoking a pot. Well, people at NASA were tremendously concerned about the workplace culture. So guess what? They, because they have federal contracts, ordered Musk and his workplace to undergo drug use reviews, right? Who do you think is going to pay for that? Oh, you are. NASA just paid Musk $5 million of your dollars in May to cover the cost of the Federal Workplace Drug Review. Let me let you process that for a minute. Because you're driving, you're thinking, I didn't hear that right. Oh, yes, you did. Elon Musk just made $5 million from the federal government. That'd be your tax money that you have to pay. You're not a multi-millionaire like he is, right? It's your tax dollars you got to pay. He just got paid $5 million because he smoked pot on a podcast with Joe Rogan. And they went, oh, no, he's smoking pot. Now, okay, marketplace. You got a lot of contracts with some dude. He's smoking pot. What happens? Tear up contracts. Throw them away. Bye-bye. Federal government? Oh, mass stupidity. That guy should not be smoking pot. We're going to pay him $5 million to make sure his workplace is drug-free. The agency, Politico reports, agreed to pay SpaceX $5 million in May to cover the cost of the review, which includes educating its employees and ensuring they are following strict guidelines for federal contractors barring illegal drug use. The federal government just paid this guy $5 million for smoking pot. Oh, God help me. Okay, I'm going to go over to the bloody spot, bang head against wall, and repeat, because I give up.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.